there's this sense that maybe in Texas, the Hispanic experience of today is different than it is in other parts of the country. Do you think it's different here?
Well, I think Texas is exceptional because its Mexican population has always been rather large relative to the population of all other states in the United States. Texas did have the largest population, Mexican population, up through the late 1920s, at which point California becomes the state with the largest Mexican population.
So how would that help shape the experience of a Mexican-American or a Hispanic living here?
I think it shapes the experience because, you know, there's a history of organization in these communities that is multi-generational, that has been going on for a very long time relative to more recently established communities in other places like North Carolina or Georgia or Mississippi, where you have growing Mexican and Latino communities as well, but dating more to the 1980s or 1990s, for instance. Texas history cannot be considered without taking into account the settlement history of Coahuila, Nuevo León, in what is northeast Mexico, because Texas is settled, is established in the early 1700s out of communities, peoples that had already been in place in Coahuila, Nuevo León since the late 1600s. So these are communities that also have a language, that have a culture, that have relationships of family going back generations. And the only thing separating them one from the other is a river and a border, right, that's been there only since 1848. I think that Mexicans are in Texas are a people who have great ambitions. And one of those ambitions is to be able to assume a place in society that is equal to their presence, their number in the population. I think that's the great civil rights story that's occurring right now.
So have they been able to do that, or what will it take? And I want to look at the family that we're profiling, the parents in their 80s, 70s and 80s now, who grew up in Little Mexico, experienced deep discrimination. Saul, who had the experiences he had in Little Mexico, but has become a successful lawyer. And then I think I told you I went to a different part of Rockwall, where there is a new community. People have been here, some of them 10 to 15 years, but speak very little English. They're working in unskilled jobs, cleaning houses, doing construction. And they're having, in many ways, the experience that Joe, the dad, had back in Little Mexico in the 50s.
Well, I think that for the generation that is in their 70s and 80s, you know, Jim Crow and the color line was also an experience shared by Mexicans. And certainly that generation would have, in one way or another, had to contend directly with being identified as a non-eligible person for any number of activities. There were events, places that, you know, you couldn't go into or you couldn't be a part of simply because of who you were. In the case of Sol's generation, you know, Sol is, you know, graduating, I guess, in the late 60s, early 70s. If we look at a higher education becoming much more available to young Mexican-Americans of that generation, coincident with the great Chicano movement, the civil rights movement in the Mexican-American community. One of the effects of the movimiento, as activists called it, was to open up opportunities for education in universities. And there's no question that far higher numbers of Mexican-American youth in the 1970s and after attained degrees. However, relative to African Americans, Anglos, as we say here in Texas, Asian Americans, the numbers are still significantly lower for Latinos.
Do you think the experience of a Hispanic family or person here has a relationship to how long they've actually been in Texas?
A larger percentage of Mexican Americans and Latinos who have been here, you know, for a longer period of time tend to do better economically, tend to be have higher levels of home ownership and so forth and so on. But, you know, in the case of the Mexican-American and Latino communities in Texas, in terms of other kinds of indices, political representation, wealth, health access to health care, I think that we have a long way to go to establish equity. I think that's part of the aspiration in the community. It is really a tragedy even that, you know, Latinos are the largest minority group in the nation, right, at 50 million plus and growing. And yet you look at here in Texas, you look at Harris County.
That's Houston.
Right, Houston. And you look at Dallas and Fort Worth, that would be, you know, the metropolitan area, the North Texas metro area, Dallas County and Tarrant County. And these are the fourth and fifth largest metropolitan areas in the nation currently. And yet these two metropolitan areas, for all their size, do not have Latino congressional representation. So there is a very large aspiration, has been for some time in the Latino community, to get members of Congress elected who are Latinas and Latinos from these places.